My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not getting no interviews. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen.
With special guest host J.R. Moore from Ingram Hill.
So let me first apologize to the shots and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly. As soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it.
Good morning, Memphis. And the rest of the world, depending on where you're listening. Welcome to the Jeff Calkins Show. My name is J.R. Moore, or Justin Moore, either one. Call me whichever one you want to. Filling in for Jeff again, once again, on the show.
Has your wife ever called you J.R.?
Never once. Okay. But my dad and my granddad and my brother have called me J.R. for most of my life.
Are you actually a junior?
No. It's Justin Robert. My parents...
Oh, we have the same middle name. How about that?
My parents started calling me J.R. because they were super big fans of the show Dallas in the 80s. And so
I just thought they were really into Raw.
Now, with my name being Justin Robert, my family started calling me JR as a kid. But my family, for most of my life, were the only people to call me JR until another Justin Moore got really famous.
Yeah.
And professionally, I had to change it for me. You would have seniority. Yeah, normally I would.
What happened to seniority in the music business?
That's what I'm saying. The problem is that I was in a band. If I'd have just been in a...
Being in a band, I could have stayed
Justin Moore. I'd have been Justin Moore from Ingram Hill.
Yeah.
But once I started putting out solo records, I could not do it as Justin Moore.
Yeah.
So then I had to change it.
Do you regret having friends and being like, hey, let's do it together?
Sometimes.
You should have. Haley Williams did.
I should have.
Hey, y'all. I know like we started this like we're in high school, but I'm going on by my own.
I'm going on my own. Oh, man. You know what? Brad always, every time I host with Brad, he was always like, hey, man, you don't have to let the music run that long. But I get it, though, because sometimes I get these headphones on, it's up loud, I start jamming along, I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to talk now. I forgot.
So Brad did a smart thing, because Jeff's obviously the worst. Jeff, you can get through an entire song half the time with bumper music with Jeff. Brad did a smart thing when we first had Giannotto and Jeffrey. You would think I'm a Green Day guy.
Right, yeah.
As a Blink guy, there's a Cold War.
Ooh, yeah, they're totally.
And
I get that.
He picked a Green Day song, and I hate Green Day.
So, yeah.
And it's like, I couldn't wait.
That's pretty good.
To start talking to get that bad boy out of my ears.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's a smart move, Brad. Yeah. Brad, yeah. He knows how to work this thing. That's management 101.
And now it's like the Jeffrey Wright and Company's like kind of like a blues poppy, like, I don't know. It's not my lane. Yeah. I'm 100% convinced it's Brad.
It's Brad.
Like, Brad's like, this Jeffrey won't get into this.
I mean, it's your show. It's your name on it. You should be able to pick your own music, but, you know.
I'm fine with it. It's also like, that's another decision to make.
I understand.
It's like when you and your wife can't figure out, where do you want to eat tonight?
I don't have so much the dinner problem. It's the everything problem for me. I get choice paralysis more than anybody I know.
Mm-hmm.
I need less decisions to make.
Yeah, you and I are wired the same way.
A big menu. I've never been
Cheesecake Factory. I told you my move, right?
Yeah.
So when I was in college, Cheesecake Factory in California is obviously
yes,
the best figure.
I can't do it.
So I would literally have, I can't remember, it's like 17 pages or whatever. Yep. I would look at where the entree started.
Right.
And I was like, I would point to whoever's sitting across from me, pick a number between 3 and 16. And whatever that number was, that was the page I would turn to, or just order off that.
Full transparency, I've never been to Elwood Shack, and because I looked at the menu online, and it's too much. I don't know what to get.
Here's the difference, though.
Do that.
Cheesecake Factory does too much, and it's mediocre.
And it's mediocre, sure.
The thing that always impresses me about Elwood's is I've never seen a place that has, without a doubt, too big of a menu.
Yeah.
And everything's
good. See, I always worry that on a menu that big,
it's unbelievable.
What if I pick the thing that's not their specialty and it's just like they have it because they have to have it because somebody's kid liked it?
I keep thinking I'm going to try something one time and be like, not their best. It doesn't matter whether it's barbecue.
Yeah.
I've tried the hot dogs. The hot dogs are incredible.
Incredible.
Like, the pizzas are awesome. Breakfast. Like, I'm not a big, like, steelhead trout guy, but, like, my wife gets that taco fairly regularly.
Yep.
Even that's incredible. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, you can't go wrong here. But
you can't go wrong.
There's no question. When you open that menu, you feel like you're a football coach, like, with the play sheet.
It's too much.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't. How am I supposed to pick something on this? So, I totally get not being able to pick your show music. I mean, when I can't even, Spotify is actually bad for me because there's too much at my disposal to the point that when I open Spotify, I just hit one of the daily mixes and just algorithm, you just take over. It's why I like radio still, because like even XM radio, because somebody else is programming that station and it's roughly music I like. And so I can't choose. I don't have to choose what I'm listening to.
I'm with you. I think the day, because I used to think it was just getting older. Like, when you get older, you stop seeking out new music.
That's not me.
But, like, I'm wired to, I want to hear new things.
Same, absolutely.
But it's overwhelming. It's the same experience as when, like, when we first started firing up Netflix, and you're like,
yes, I can't,
just give me the random button. Like,
it's the same thing.
I have the same problem with music today, where it's like, there's too much, and it's like, it's like, all right, I guess I'm just going to go listen to Blink again.
Yeah, right. It drives me crazy because I actually, like, I'm not the dude who's like, oh, music in my day was so much better.
Ian, I want to hear any music. I want to hear
music
what people
out right now, and I want to hear it, and it's just, it's too overwhelming to search it out. And so, and the problem is that, like, on my Spotify, it's so algorithm based.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, we know how old you are and other stuff you've ever listened to. And so we're just going to feed you this echo chamber of what you've already listened to. And it drives me nuts because I do want to hear new up and comers and young bands and
I texted you last week.
I can't search for
it. To your point, I was flipping through XM and XMU.
Yep.
Which you and I have talked about.
Like, yes.
You can, like, they are Adam Dunn on steroids.
Yeah, yes.
Like, you'll hear one song and it is an absolute banger. Yeah. And you're like, but then you have to sit through like 8 to 10 songs where you're like,
correct,
this is horrible. Like,
correct.
These people aren't even good at, like,
no.
There's no way that these people were talented.
You're playing this song just because you're being different.
They probably have a good vibe about them.
Right.
But that's how I found the Japan Droids. Chicago, their latest single for their last album that's coming up. And I was
that
like,
song, that
this
song slaps.
Bangs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It absolutely goes.
Yep. So I'm with you.
What's the most offensive thing the algorithm's thrown at you?
Well, for a while there, see, when you'll get this soon, when your daughter starts liking music and wanting to hear
kids'
songs.
Like, my daughter, so I think she's like gotten into Sesame Street because, like, A, she probably has a predisposition. Like, I love the Muppets. So
sure, right.
There's some wiring in there where right. It's like we laugh at that. But there's no question, like, she hears the Letter of the Day song, and, like, she's bouncing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, so there's going to be a time where your entire algorithm is going to be force-feeding you, like cartoon,
Baby Shark
and cartoon songs. But
what's the most offensive thing that's not, like, you can at least pass that off.
Sure.
That's not me. That's my kids. Like, what's the one that you're like, they targeted me for this?
Oh, this happened not long ago. Who is this? There are sometimes that... Oh, I cannot remember. There's bands that they have targeted me at as liking, and no matter how many times I say, don't play this song,
immediately.
It just, they're like, no, but we know how old you are.
We really think you're
going to like this.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, come on. Sometimes it's like if I listen to one 90s rock song, it suddenly goes, we knew it. You're in your 40s. We're only going to play you 90s rock. And I love 90s rock.
Here, Creed's deep cuts.
Right? But like we just talked about, I like hearing new music.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to get stuck in listening to just 90s alternative all the time. And I mean, all I have to do is listen, like look up one Stone Temple Pilots song, and they're like, oh, we got you, buddy. We knew it. It was only a matter of time before you searched out
here's some
90s
soul.
Rock, and you will only get the Offspring and Nirvana fed to you in your algorithm. We know you like this, and we're going to keep giving it to you. Gosh, choice paralysis.
Too many options.
Is that my wife just figured this out about me, that like all the things that annoy her about me,
mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say all of them, but a lot of them are based on my choice paralysis. That she's like, why do you keep doing this the same way every time in the same routine? I'm like,
okay,
because I don't have to decide anything.
Do you ever run into this problem though, where yes, I have choice paralysis too, but then she then gets offended when I have opinions?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, well, yeah. You can't have it both ways.
That's exactly right.
Like, because in reality, what they're actually saying is, I want you to have my opinion.
I need you to agree with me and have my opinion.
Correct.
Yeah.
I just don't
need
to say it, but I want you to say the right thing.
That's right.
Like, I'm done with tests.
That's right. That's right. When most of the time my answer is, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't care. And then this time I have an opinion, you're like, wait a minute. Totally get it. Oh, we haven't even introduced the show today.
We had a fun one.
We did. We do. On the show, we have, of course, we have Chris Harrington at 10 o'clock. I'm sad to learn he did not come back
He did try a lot of haggis.
He did have try a lot of haggis. Not one inkling of a Scottish accent. Not even like one-liners where he like just breaks into it for a second.
He also... came back. He ranked Glasgow over London.
I heard that. I mean, that's fight words.
And to be clear, I love Glasgow, but like my only complaint with London was like it was the most expensive place I'd ever been.
Yeah.
But like London was awesome.
Yeah. That's a hot take.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely a hot take. Oh, we're going to have Kevin Cerrito to play Righter Than Right trivia.
Speaking of 90s rock, JR, we got two tickets to the Smashing Pumpkins September 10th.
Yes.
I presume that's Bank Plus, right? Bank Plus September 10th.
Hitting the demo, baby. That should be a fun show.
I kind of like this stage of Billy Corgan.
Yeah.
He's like Billy for too long was too pretentious. And now he's kind of like he's just kind of like, I like playing music again.
Yes.
And it's been fun.
He was only pretentious, I feel like. Not just too pretentious.
Well,
that,
and then he did,
that was his entire vibe, was pretentious.
But then he was like, I want to buy a wrestling company.
Yeah.
It was like pick a lane, dude.
He does seem to be in the enjoyment stage of like, oh, this is just a good time. And like, I'm gonna play all these hit songs
like
that I wrote.
Even he's like, I only play songs I wanna play, and then Zephyr's like, oh, so you don't play the hits? And he screenshotted the set list. He goes, what did I leave out? I was like, okay, I believe this guy.
Yeah, because I was never a Smashing Pumpkins guy.
No.
But like also,
1979 goes.
But like at the same time, when you look back at them, they had hits. They had hits, man. Those some real bangers.
They had so many songs that you didn't know the name to that you downloaded on Napster.
That's exactly right.
That was labeled as something else.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And I like his attitude now of what he's got going on. So I'm for it. Great prize. But I will say we are doing Kevin Cerrito in the middle
a little bit earlier, second hour.
You ever had that friend who, like, no matter where you go, he breaks something? That's what I feel like I'm doing with this show. That I came in here and I was like, hey, you know the routine you guys have? I'm gonna throw a wrench in this. It is Substitute Teacher Day. And then in the final segment, I'm coming with I brought an early Christmas present for Jeffrey Wright. We are going to have actor and musician Thomas Ian Nicholas on the show, a.k.a. Henry Rowengartner from Rookie of the Year.
Or Kevin from American Pie.
It's exciting stuff, right?
Yeah. This is, when you texted me yesterday, it was like, the only other experience that I'd had like this was my buddy Tim Murray, when it was Entourage's 20th anniversary.
Yep.
He's like, hey, do you want Doug from the show? I was like, as in Ellen? He's like, yeah, I'm buddies with him. You want me to get him on? And this is like 30 minutes before the show. I was like, are you? Are you serious, Clark? Like, I was like, what are you doing? This was the same experience. This guy was so seminal to me. I mean, I to your point, like, A, this guy has so many things that for guys that are like 36, so many movies that we really were like so close to like seeing boobs in.
Yes.
Like,
oh,
he was,
yeah.
Like he had the sweet spot. But also, I was at Wrigley in April.
Oh, when he threw out the first pitch?
Well, no, but I was in right field.
Oh.
I was thinking,
yes.
Henry Rowengartner sat right where I sat.
Right there. Like, crank that arm.
I was like looking around. Anybody got a baseball? Like, I got a pretty good arm. Like, I don't think you know this.
My wife was hoping that that my recovery from knee surgery, she was hoping, she's like, why couldn't your leg do what
Tommy John? Like, why couldn't you have like
yeah.
It's like, well,
like suddenly I could jump out of the gym.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if you'd know this, but like post 40,
things don't work. It doesn't work. We met him. It's crazy enough. We actually met him on the rock boat. And
what was the lineup when you did that?
It was me, Zach Myers, my buddy Chris Allen. Yeah. I mean, we were playing. I know we actually did it as it was a dual thing. We double dipped on our shows where we played some J.R. Moore shows, some Alan Mac Myers Moore shows. Same band, different songs.
Respect.
So we just switched lead singers
on
who was doing what.
Respect.
Like we did. So I had Zach Myers with me and Chris Allen, Sean Dorn.
Are those fun?
They're a blast.
Yeah, because I'm not a big cruise guy. Like, I've done one.
I can't imagine doing a regular cruise anymore. And, I mean, I can't imagine. I don't know if I would have fun on a cruise just as going on a cruise. These are fun because it's a music festival on a cruise ship, and it's like every there are no bad shows.
Well, and, like, there is, like, the possibility, like, I assume in your perspective, like, last thing you really want to do is just, like, hang out with fans. But, like, there is the possibility. Like, there's been two of them. It's like, I could go hang out with Andrew McMahon.
Right. Yeah, it's cool. You end up meeting, like, other all the musicians.
But everybody's in a good mood.
Everybody's in a good mood. All the bands hang out together. On these cruises specifically, they, like, as far as fan interaction goes, they get an entire series of, like, videos of, like, how to not be annoying to
respect
to the bands, like to where you can respect their space, but also get your picture. And they have, you know,
buy them a beer.
You know, yeah, it is. It's. And so, as far as the,
do they give you the good rooms?
Yes.
Okay, at least you get that.
Yeah, I mean, And some bands get better rooms based on the headliners and the negotiations. But they're good. It was fun. And so we met him on the boat. It was like, it's one of those weird things of like, what's his deal? Like, how's this going to work out? And he could not have been a nicer guy. And I had several late night cruise ship cafeteria meals with him, like just hanging out and shooting the breeze.
I knew he was my guy when he like did a parody of Bowling for Soup's 1985.
Sure. You sure
1999.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, he's self-aware.
Yo,
and then
totally.
Also, Bowling for Soup loved it.
Absolutely.
And I was like, if my guys love him, then I'm good.
Also, great guys. I was just on Jarrett Reddick's podcast. The singer, they have a Rockstar Dad's podcast. I was just on their podcast.
They're the only other people other than my aunt and uncle and cousins that are from Wichita Falls, Texas.
Easily one of the funniest bands.
Oh, like, absolutely. No, they're hilarious.
Their show was my favorite on the boat. They were the most entertaining band by a long shot.
I think I'm taking you back here. I'm pretty sure in 05, when the power went out on you with Ingram Hill at Music Fest.
Yep.
Pretty sure you played Friday, right? I think that was a Friday.
Were they on the
stage? They were on a different stage. They were on the stage when you walked in.
Oh, gotcha.
But I'm pretty sure I was like, because I ran from them over to your stage.
Incredible. I played I played multiple festivals with them. I did not know they were on that music festival.
No, they're good dudes.
They're so good. So good.
Talk about people that don't take themselves seriously.
There is nobody who takes themselves less seriously. They have mega hits. And Jarrett is the voice on the Phineas and Ferb song.
Yeah.
It's weird. Just the band life is weird.
I did love when, was the XR-71, where they wrote right
now. XR-71.
Yeah. And he technically wrote 1985, and he liked Jarrett so much, he's like, this song's more you. And he just handed it to him. And then Jarrett tweaks some things.
Of course.
He wrote another verse, and he's like the fact that somebody, like, I have a hit here, and I'm giving it to you.
But like, this
to
feels
me,
like you.
Yeah. I was like, that to me, like, that's because you know, if those guys are D-bags, like, nobody, like,
of
nobody's doing that.
No.
But he's like, trust me.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So we're gonna have Thomas on the show in the second hour. That's gonna be can't miss. He's coming to Memphis tonight. He's playing Memphis tonight. That's why we're having him on the show.
The artist formerly known as Growlers, right?
No, it's at 1884.
Which video is that?
1884 is the small room at Minglewood Hall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's Growlers now?
Was the original high tone.
I know, but I thought they changed the name again.
No, Growlers is still Growlers.
Okay, still Growlers.
I think.
Okay.
It was something in between.
Okay, that's
high tone and Growlers.
Okay.
Yeah. Growlers is the current name.
Yeah.
Yes.
Know your music venues.
Look at us go.
Look at us.
We're totally on top of it.
I've seen so many bands that like could barely play three chords there.
We all. Mm-hmm. that's the thing with small clubs.
Yes.
Is that if you're a small club, you're gonna get some great shows, but you're also gonna get
people that can't play music.
The worst shows.
Sirius XM.
XMU. Sirius XM.
Channel 35.
It's the Sirius XMU of venues.
And it all comes full circle.
Really does. Well, there are sports stuff to talk about, and I think the best way for us to do it is a little game of Believe It or Not.
Now it's time for Believe It.
Believe. I don't even know if I believe.
Now I'm a believer.
Or not. Believe It or Not on the Jeff Calkins Show.
I saw an article come out from an AP writer last night with a little prediction. And so I'm going to ask you.
All right.
Memphis will be in the college football playoff.
Believe it or not. Oh, this is
I mean, just diving right in, buddy.
This is a question I have thought a lot about this summer.
Yeah.
And it kind of depends what day you ask me. I think in the end, I'm going to say I don't believe it, only from the sense of it's basically asking me Memphis or the field.
Right.
Therefore, like, from a math perspective, where the question, though, gets complicated. If not Memphis, who?
Right.
And everyone goes to Boise State.
Sure do.
And I understand why they go to Boise State. But I also have watched that conference for much of my life. It doesn't make sense. It was always diet Pac-12 where you're like, wait, they lost to who?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
We don't really understand. When we look at a map, we just think the West Coast is out there. You don't realize, like, going from... going from Reno to Spokane.
That's such a long way.
It's still like 1,500 miles.
Such a long way.
Like, we don't comprehend that, because we just look, it's whatever, it's out there. It's like, yep, we think it's like Memphis to Nashville. The travel is brutal, and honestly, like, the fact that they still have, like, first-year coach, first-year quarterback, and they didn't even take the quarterback that they paid to bring in.
Right.
It gives me a little hesitation. I think Liberty's schedule is going to get held against them.
Yep.
I think what it really boils down to is, I don't know if I trust the Tigers to win the league. And that's where I struggle.
I'm with you on that. The reason I bring this up, Ralph DeRusso from the AP wrote, just did his college football predictions.
Yep.
And he predicted, like, the playoffs in a seeded playoff.
Yep.
And he
did his 1-12.
And he did 1-12, and Memphis was the 12 seed, would be playing, in his prediction, playing against at Oregon, at the number 5 seed Oregon at Austin Stadium, which would be outrageous.
So, Cerrito and I have been talking about this. All right, let's say I'm wrong. Memphis is in the playoff.
Yep.
And it's likely that the 5 seed is either going to be the runner-up of the Big Ten or the SEC.
Right.
I find it hard to believe that it's going to be anyone else. I suppose, theoretically, undefeated Notre Dame would be the 5.
Yep. And,
but I don't really know if I believe in Notre Dame to go undefeated. But we all agree, if Memphis played Notre Dame, we're all like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Like unbelievable. Like, we
in
can't,
South Bend.
Like, let's take that trip. Like, who cares that it's December? Like, touchdown, Jesus, amen. Let's go. So what would be the most, like, let's set aside Notre Dame, but what would be, like, the most fun matchup? And I think it's right. It's if somehow Tennessee wound up being the runner-up of the SEC. If you got the Tennessee-Memphis 5-12 game, I think that's the most fun, right?
Absolutely. I think so. I mean, just looking at that list that he said, almost any of these would be like, I cannot believe we're in the group of this. I mean, it's Tennessee, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oregon, Kansas State, Wisconsin, Texas, Georgia, Virginia Tech, Ole Miss, and Miami. I mean, yes.
All right, let's go through. I'll ask you this way.
Okay,
would you rather go to Knoxville or Oxford
for the fun?
Yeah.
I mean, it would feel bigger in Knoxville.
I agree. I'm with you. All right, Knoxville or Tuscaloosa?
Tuscaloosa.
I mean, dun, 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 dun.
I mean, I would rather. I think Tuscaloosa is bigger than is. I mean, yes, the Memphis Tennessee rivalry is a thing, but, like, in my lifetime, we have
Alabama's the standard.
We have played Tennessee a bunch, and so I think Tuscaloosa is where it's at.
All right, so we definitely
that would be almost surreal to go to Tuscaloosa.
We're kind of in Barney Stinson territory, like, a new 8's better than an old 8. All right. Definitely over Missouri.
Oh, yeah, no.
All right, here's a fun one. Would you rather go
but going to
Tuscaloosa or Baton Rouge?
Oh!
The Battle of the Tigers.
Oh, gosh. I mean, that seems like
night game.
A blast. Although I still feel like Alabama, going to Alabama would be like, that would be the, I cannot, I mean, they would both be in the very surreal territory. It just feels like Alabama is the gold standard.
All right. Alabama, Michigan.
Jeez. I mean, probably still Alabama, but
I think the Big House is overrated.
Playing in the Big House, it would be cool.
Although I guess I could go hang out and work. Alabama, Ohio State.
Those would be almost equally in just wild territory to me, I think.
I guess I'm going to Alabama.
I still think I'd want to go Alabama.
And then in Alabama, Oregon, I would go Alabama.
Oh, for sure.
So
it'd be weird playing on the road at Oregon in a playoff game would be like, what is happening?
I have a theory on Altson. So I think Altson gets inflated from a reputation because here's why. You know, like I do, the West Coast is just a different experience with sports.
It is.
They're just not that into it.
No.
They're not opposed to it. They're just not into it. And Oregon is the one place that is into it.
Yes.
And they buy in and they love their teams. And so it's like Oregon and Utah both get inflated because they're outrageously passionate fan bases.
Because they're but it's only because they're surround they're all the people they're with
it's
are not
cheerleader
that.
Effect.
Yes.
Like in the end, Allison has like under 60,000 people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, y'all. It ain't as loud as Knoxville when it's rocking and rolling.
No.
There's 100,000 plus.
If you pick that up and plopped it down in the middle of the SEC, it would be normal.
Like it's I mean, honestly, it looks a lot like the Liberty Bowl.
Yeah.
They've kept it better, but
it would be like a good crowd, but it would be a normal crowd
in the
Southeast.
It'd be a lot like Mississippi State.
Yes. Like, yeah.
And like that's always been my thing. Like, yes, it's a good environment for its category.
Right. I guess you're right.
So I'm putting it the only one now, this is where it gets fun though. I do think night game at Penn State.
Oh,
Memphis comes in a wideout. That'd be fun.
That'd be way fun.
But I'm also
had we not just played them in the Cotton Bowl,
yes.
I would,
I'm viciously opposed to Colt.
Yes, I would say Penn State would be. Had we not just played them in the Cotton Bowl, I would say Penn State would be way high on the list. So that list of teams would be crazy.
And that's what you're looking at if you make it.
I know. It also makes me jealous. That like, just again that. We're in the conference that we're in, and that
like Kevin and I did this.
It would be so cool just to be able to like, what if our schedule had half of our schedule look like these kind of brand names?
All right, you've got the schedule right on the wall.
Yeah,
look at the home schedule.
Oh,
if I tell you, hey, I'll watch your kids, you and your wife can go to one game. Which home game are you picking?
UAB.
And are you sure?
I mean, I said it with a question mark. that is tough, man.
And now, I do understand this is somewhat of an outlier because the school asked to have a bad home schedule because of the construction.
Yeah.
I also think that was a mistake.
That's a huge mistake.
When has anything in construction been on time?
Never.
This idea that all of a sudden you were going to build a new stadium in 18 months was always insane to me. Just play it out.
Just play it and just play it out. And number one, and number two, wouldn't you if you're gonna have these games, wouldn't you want it to look packed and look awesome with 32,000 people
and
there?
On top of that, who cares? If you've got a new stadium, the opponent matters less.
Yes,
do the inverse.
100%. The venue is now the
correct
draw, not the opponent.
I mean, Kevin and I were laughing. Like it is. This does also show like. Human beings, we are really actually wired to be stupid. I kind of want to go see the hole.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's absolutely. Like, how is that a selling point? We literally knocked down some concrete, but I was like, I want to see it. Like, what's it smell like?
I have not. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I will be first to admit that I'm wrong. Are we sure, like, the party deck is going to work?
So
is that cool? Like I have not seen any other stadium with this, and maybe I'm just blind
so
to other
UCF
stadiums.
UCF does it.
UCF does it. Okay.
Okay. Here's the thing you got to remember. If we wind up with the party decks forever, we failed. If you don't get to phase three,
yeah,
this didn't work
because
you're. Think about this. It's not just quote unquote party decks. It's the fact that you just took out some of the absolute best seats.
Premium seats.
And you've just put space.
Correct.
So if you look at like look at where NFL stadiums do party decks, like, oh, it's
in the end zones.
In the end zone at the field level.
Yeah.
You know why? It sucks to watch a game there.
Right.
Like, so, like, why are suites up high? Like, all right, well, we're going to sell the good seats. And
right.
Like, so if you wind up having that forever, we failed.
Got it. I mean, every time I see the renderings, I'm like, are they're cutting out the shade side?
Yeah.
And the
this is the other big part.
And the good seats for a party deck, and they're putting all their good seats in the sun.
So there's also
where you put your visitors.
There's also this weird question. So
I don't understand.
If you think back, I think there's really been three mindsets in stadium arena building in my lifetime. So I'm 36.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, and this is what we see with FedEx Forum, and this is a challenge. When the Detroit Pistons moved from Joe Louis Arena out to Auburn Hills and built the Palace of Auburn Hills, it changed the business.
Yeah.
Number one, they owned the parking lot,
right,
which was a huge revenue generator. But also, they came up with the like three-level suites concept.
Oh, right.
And they sold them out.
Yep.
And everyone's looking at them like, how the hell? Like, look at how much money they're making.
Sure.
And so there was this mad rush in the 90s to build new arenas. Like, think the Staples Center, where you see, like, the three-level
right.
suites.
Yep.
Well, it flips a little bit. Hey, what about instead of, the like, all these suites, what if we put the suites close to the floor? We can really charge
right.
an arm and a leg for that. We have the concept that we see at FedEx Forum,
yes.
at whatever we're calling Bankers Life, Invesco, whatever, the Conseco Fieldhouse.
Conseco Fieldhouse.
The artist formerly known as Conseco yes. Fieldhouse. Pepsi Center, I don't know, what's it down in Denver? I don't know, it's not Pepsi anymore.
Is that Ball?
Yeah, Ball Arena.
Yep.
All of those arenas that were built at Charlotte, same thing.
Yep.
Cleveland. Courtside suites.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at our lower suite level, it's like 18 rows
yes.
up. Well, then everyone started doing the math of, wait a minute. So I got to pay $250,000 for this. I can go and buy 10 seats in the best set, like whatever. I'm not going to sit on the floor.
Right.
But I can buy 10 seats in the leather chairs
yes.
with the waiter service, whatnot, and pay half.
Right.
Well, I'm going to go do that.
Yep.
So that transitions to the what we've seen recently, particularly in arenas, which is if you look at like Milwaukee with Fiserv, massive lower bowl.
Yep.
Thin row of suites on top of it.
Uh-huh.
Small upper deck.
Yep.
Why is that? Well, they're charging all. They're getting as much as they can for lower bowl
seats. Of course. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the problem that we're seeing with the Forum, where they would love to flip
100%
the upper and the lower bowls.
Absolutely.
Well, you're basically building a new arena.
Yep.
And pre-pandemic, maybe $500 million could do that.
Yeah.
Post-pandemic, everyone's sitting there going, you should just build a new arena.
Right.
Like, that's what it's good.
Yeah.
There's a reason why Oklahoma City's basically, they're not trying to renovate.
Wow.
Straight up new arena.
Okay.
And so here we are with this decision. The reason why I mention it with football is, the thing that's interesting about football is, okay, what is the challenge for live event football post-pandemic? It's getting people
into
the building.
It's getting people there.
So we've tried the, because forever when you and I were growing up, when you renovated your stadium, make it bigger.
Yes.
More seats. Everyone's getting bigger, bigger. Well, then everyone started realizing, like, hey, instead of, like, we can make more money instead of having 100,000 people. If we have 80,000 with premium seating,
uh-huh.
we can make more money that way. So then stadiums started getting more intimate and more, like, look at, like, when Baylor built their brand
yes.
new stadium. Like, it's, like, 45,000 people, but everything feels like it's a premium seat.
Yep.
Well, now it feels like the new move is, well, if we have a smaller stadium and premium seating, but people are just sitting on their couch,
right?
We've screwed ourselves twice.
Yep.
So it seems to me the new theory is people are doing the move that probably musicians have done, which is, how do we get the girls here?
That's what.
If you get the girls here, you get the
guys.
You get the guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, maybe the girls aren't all that interested in a 4.5 hour football game. They are interested
in a party deck.
I can go straight from the tailgate. I
yeah.
can dress up. I have the bar there. I can walk around.
Okay. All right.
It seems to me that's the new theory.
That, listen, I'm open to this. I need a better understanding of why this was the design and why they were killing premium seats to make a party deck. And I can listen to that argument.
And so if they get
for
to
sure.
phase three, you get both. So they'll have like overhang.
Overhang.
So it'll be like a plaza, like the plazas at the Forum. And then you have the party decks underneath.
So they're,
but that's not a guarantee.
That's not a guarantee. The party deck's going to drop capacity, what, like 52,000?
I think so.
Which will still be too big?
Yeah.
And then then phase three, they're going to put it back up to 60 when they put more seats in?
Or maybe like 56, 58.
I mean, listen, I will die on this hill. Tarp those end zones, baby. If Baylor can do it.
Spoken like a true Dolphins fan.
Listen, the Jags tarp their entire upper deck.
Uh-huh.
If Baylor,
it is Florida in September.
If Baylor can tarp their end zones, Memphis can too. You tarp those end zones, and the capacity goes to 40,000 seats in the Liberty Bowl when it's at full not with
so,
a hole.
So you're an alum.
It would look great on TV. It would look great.
You're an alum, but sometimes, do you ever have this thought, like, man, I really hate Shirley Raines.
Yes.
Like
I will also die on that hill.
She spoke at MUS, like, it was like ninth grade, like, orientation or whatever, like the first day of school, and she spoke. And I remember there were so many Memphis faculty members that were just so embarrassed. She was so horrible. And then it's also like, there was a point in time when it wasn't insane to think we can do the on-campus stadium thing.
Yes, it was not insane. I mean, didn't Harold Bird and all them, they put like a legitimate study together, right?
Correct. They put a comprehensive study. We even had renderings.
Yes.
Everything. Those renderings were sweet. It was like the like oil painting kind of style. Like you don't get those anymore.
No, you don't.
Everything looks too crisp.
Yeah.
Too CGI. There's nothing like a good old-fashioned oil painting. Oh, yeah. I can see it now. But like just... didn't even consider it.
No, no. She could not care less about sports. She may be a nice lady. I don't know her.
I don't know her. She came off as incredibly arrogant.
Maybe she's not a nice lady.
I don't know.
She could be. I don't know.
But I will from time to time think like, man, I really hate that woman.
But, you know, I would, I hope she knows.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she knows what she did.
Yeah.
Or didn't do.
Yeah. To be clear, Jeffrey Wright, I hate Shirley Raines. Print that on a shirt.
That should be the new rallying cry for Memphis sports. Instead of
Far too long, we've blamed the wrong people. Sometimes you just got to blame her.
She was the head honcho. Sometimes you got to blame the head honcho.
Give me your 10 things to be highly efficient again, Shirley.
Oh,
that was great.
Gosh. Do we have time for more Believe It or Not? Or did we kill it all here?
Let's take a break and we can come back and play it again.
We're going to play. That's what we're going to do. We have to pay the bills around here.
So, Jeff's not here.
And
Jeff's
in
t-shirt day.
I'm breaking the show. That's what I wanted to do. And we're just going to play the same game in the next segment.
Continued.
It's going to be great. Continued game. The game was so good, we're just going to keep going.
Amen.
All right. My name is Jerry Moore. I'm filling in on the Jeff Calkins Show. You're listening to 92.9 FM ESPN.
Almost all the time.
This one's in the key of D, right?
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Got that right.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the show. J.R. Moore filling in for Jeff. It's weird for me to hear that. I haven't heard that in so long. It's weird.
It's a banger, dude.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
It's my favorite song.
It's
my favorite song you've written.
I appreciate that. It's just weird to hear it. I'm like, man, that guy's voice sounds young.
Well, it's just
because it was.
It's the greatest compliment ever.
Because it was. Tomorrow will be our 24th anniversary as a band.
Wow.
Yeah. We started August 23rd of 2000.
Holy hell. Were y'all still in school?
Yeah.
Juniors, what were
you? I was a sophomore in college.
No, how did you?
I was just starting my sophomore year of college.
How'd you book your first show?
You know, honestly,
did you have a demo at this point? Like, what? Because you
know, I was in a band that was already doing like what we were just playing around Memphis. We had a man and actually signed with a manager, a fellow by the name of Jim Green, who is RIP. He immediately had us playing like
every frat house you could find.
Frat houses around the SEC.
Which is smart.
And stuff. And so by the time that band just fizzled out and a couple of us wanted to keep going. And so we just found two more guys and that's how Ingram started. And we started the band and it was like a month from now, we've already had this show booked at the library in Oxford. And so
you and the mustache band,
buddy. And so it was already booked from our previous band. And so we just
was
kept
the library
the show.
At that point. Did they have the middle part yet?
No, it was just the club. It wasn't their sports bar wasn't there. The backside wasn't there.
So
it was
you were just the middle part.
It was just the middle
stage.
Part only with the stage. And so
God,
it was
that's a business. I'd love that.
Right? I tell you what. And so we had our show. And so it was like, oh, we better start rehearsing because we have a show in a month. And so we immediately the first show was at. The library in Oxford. Second show was the following night at Rick's Cafe in Starkville. And right off the jump, we already had those shows booked and we already had a little momentum from our previous band. And we did a thing to where, which you can't do anymore, and we eventually got in trouble with it with the city of Oxford, is that we went and flyered. It was eight. The venue was 18 plus.
Yeah.
And so we went and flyered the freshman dorms. Every car in the parking lot in the freshman dorms, we went the night before and put flyers under the windshield
Crosby,
wiper.
Crosby, Stewart.
And buddy. But it worked because it was the only club that freshmen could get into. Under 21s.
Did you get the girls?
Buddy, you know it.
And was it just girls, or did maybe guys follow them?
Turns out when you get the girls to show up, the guys follow
Weird.
Them there. It's amazing how that happens.
Unbelievable.
And so we eventually got in trouble that we were causing litter in the city of Oxford. They came after us, and so we had to stop doing that. But it was a pretty successful marketing campaign to get people to come to the show.
Yeah.
And so
I miss flyers.
Yeah, so that's how we that was right off the jump. It came out banging.
Hey, you know, everyone talks about missing the newspaper. No, I miss flyers.
Flyers.
I miss the flyers for the shows.
That's exactly right.
Let me go find this band.
That's it. Because you're so flooded in your social media with like advertisements and everything and everybody's opinions.
You don't even know.
You don't even know.
I just assume everything's an ad now.
That's exactly right. You don't even know.
Correct.
And so when you wake up in the morning.
At least the flyer was honest.
When you wake up in the morning to go to class and you've got a flyer under your windshield wiper, like, when did this show up? And what is this? You at least take a peek at it.
This is a cool shade of orange. How did they get this paper?
Right. Sometimes yellow, sometimes orange, sometimes green.
And faded black ink. Because everyone was printing off the same printer.
You know it.
We're not going to buy another ink cartridge.
You know it. That's how we did it.
All right, what do we got? You said you got another believe it or not.
I do have another believe it or not.
All right.
All the rookie quarterbacks from this year's NFL draft are actually going to be good, or at least kind of decent. I mean, not all. First rounders.
Hits is what you mean.
Yes, they're all going to be hits. All in the first round.
So are we defining hit as second contract?
Yes.
Okay.
And playing. I'm not going to say they have to be good.
To be, like, if you get a second contract, like you just saw, you had to pay your guy. Mm-hmm. Like, are you in love with him?
Yeah. No.
But at the same time, know what it's like to not have, like, at least you got him.
Do I ever know what it's like to not have one?
I'm going to say I don't believe it. And the only reason why is someone's going to get mismanaged. Like, I think far too often we do the move of, this guy sucks, and we just blame the player.
Yeah.
And players obviously deserve to be blamed more times than not.
Yep.
But there are also guys that are mismanaged.
Sure.
Drake May feels like he's going to get mismanaged.
Of any of them, it feels like he's going to be the, because he's on a bad team.
Horrific.
And he's going to be mismanaged. But I mean, what's his face in Washington? Jaden Daniels not on a good team.
Yes, but I trust, like, it's one of, this was a super depressing thing for me. As a Giants fan, I push back on this narrative that, like, we're well-run.
Yeah.
We're actually, like, a low-key, terrible franchise.
Right.
But I think it's because we have, like, two families that are New York royalty. Nobody wants to badmouth them.
Right.
Because everybody wants to get in that room.
Yep.
But we're actually terribly run. So, because, like, if you think about it, like, it's like we had Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
Pretty good run there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty awful after he retires. We had one Super Bowl appearance, but like that was kind of more an indictment on the NFC.
Is that Kerry Collins?
That was Kerry Collins.
Yep.
That was also the year where San Francisco botched the field goal.
Yes.
We were not, we made it, but we also got absolutely curbed.
Yep.
Eli shows up, we win two Super Bowls, but it was like Super Bowl or bust. It was either like Super Bowl or like 8-8.
Sure.
So you wind up with a franchise where you're going to have turnover, either GM, coach, whatnot, and every time you have turnover, someone's going to sit there and go like, this is not my guy. I'm getting my guy.
Right.
And, you know, we're now doing the thing where I don't think Daniel's great.
Yep.
But this idea that we're now blaming Daniel for every single problem that the franchise has, like, that is so unfair to him. But you're going to get that situation with someone where one of these quarterbacks is just going to end up being a scapegoat and therefore will bust.
Listen, I would love to be, quote unquote, a poorly managed franchise with three Super Bowl appearances under my belt, two victories.
Two of the greatest days of my life. Like, I mean, it's my daughter's birthday, and happy birthday, Josephine. I know she's listening.
the greatest days. Like,
sign
you don't
me
understand.
Up for
it
that.
It's like so amazing.
My old manager used to say, "Man, you know, listen, we gotta work this the grassroots way. You don't want to get too famous too fast." And I'm
I do. No,
I do want to get too famous too fast and too rich too fast.
It's why I love Blink. They never pretended that they didn't want to be big.
Yeah,
like Green Day was like, "Oh, we can't play the clubs anymore." Blink's like, "Yeah, we want to play stadiums."
Yeah,
we don't
pull. But like, sign me up for a crappy run franchise, and I've got 2 Super Bowl wins in the last 20 years.
You know how awesome the 2011 World Series Game 7 was?
Yeah.
Multiply that by 10. And that's and to be clear, the 2011 Game 7 is one of the also greatest days of my life. It is nothing like a Super Bowl win. You have like 2 weeks where you're just consuming everything. Like you rewatch the game the next day. Oh my God, it is just the best.
In my lifetime, my favorite team has only made 1 Super Bowl appearance.
Mm-hmm.
In my lifetime. Uh-huh. And I was not old enough to even know what football was.
But like y'all didn't have like a generational quarterback, right?
But we did have a generational quarterback that, you know, this kind of leads me into I mean, I had a Mike McDaniel, believe it or not, but actually, I actually like Mike McDaniel.
Yeah,
and I've hated every Dolphins coach since Jimmy Johnson ruined Dan Marino's career in favor of Damon Heward.
Yes. The other Heward.
I've been like, you know what?
Not Brock.
I am done with the Dolphins coaches. And I think Mike McDaniel's actually good. And
no, so, I'm with you. But he's a Shanny guy.
He's a Shanny guy.
But I'm also a Shanny fangirl.
Oh yeah. Well, there we go.
Except
when it's cold weather.
Yeah.
Or it's clock.
We have problems with clock.
Or it's super intense and high pressure situation.
Correct.
Which would be clock management. And the Mahomes on the other side. Yeah. It doesn't work as well. Mm-hmm. But like in August and September and even October, it's fun.
He has so many plays that make me just go, oh my God.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible. All right, we're going to take a short little break. And when we come back, because we have a packed second hour.
Amen.
We have Chris Harrington, we have Kevin Cerrito, writer of the Rat Trivia, and we have Thomas Ian Nicholas. You know him. He's Henry Rowan Gardner and Kevin from American Pie. Mm-hmm. Buddy, it's going to be awesome. You're listening to the Jeff Calkins Show. I'm J.R. Moore filling in. That's Jeff Reno on the other side of the glass on 92.9 FM ESPN. It's a banger, man. It's a no-doubt banger. Can't beat that. All right.
I also love bands that hate each other.
Yes, 100%.
There's something about the artistic, creation. If you can actually get them in the room together, they can do great stuff.
They can do great stuff, but man, they can't stand being around each other.
Love it.
That tension really creates great art. Great art. All right.
Says the man that likes his band.
Says the man. But, you know, makes our art, whether it's great or not, very debatable. On the phone, we have the master of fun and games. It's Kevin Cerrito.
Hey, JR, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. So I got a question for you. When you listen to Rider Than Ride Trivia,
yes,
are you one of the people cheering for Jeffrey or cheering against Jeffrey?
I'm 100% cheering against Jeffrey. I mean, every time.
So is my wife.
Every time. Yeah. I even like it when the guys that come on and like are really confident and like talk a little bit of trash. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, get him today. I like it.
We have Jamie and
most of the city. Most of the city cheers against Jeffrey like he's John Calipari.
Nobody likes a dynasty. Everybody's pulling for the underdog.
Except for the fans.
And you're like the evil empire. You're the Yankees of Rider Than Right Trivia of the Jeff Calkins Show.
Say what you want about the evil empire. As soon as Palpatine dies, everything goes back into chaos.
That's a good point.
Sounds like the guy maybe had a plan.
The chase is what sells. It really does.
That's what it is. All right, so we have Jamie and Bartlett.
Jamie, you're on.
I am here.
Well, Kevin, I'm handing it over to you, Kevin. Give him. I'm just here to referee. Give him the deal.
Right. You got to keep score. All right, here's what we got going on, Jamie. It's Rider Than Right Trivia. You get more right than Jeffrey, you will win. Of course, if you play fair, you'll probably get the prize as well. We're sending you to the Smashing Pumpkins concert. When is that going to be, Jeffrey?
September the 10th, Bank Plus.
Ooh, it's right around the corner. I'm going to give you the choice of two topics. Whatever you don't choose will automatically go to Jeffrey. If you miss a question, he can steal from you one time and vice versa. The steal is now allowed on multiple choice questions and updated versions of the rules for this season, right? We got a new kickoff.
New kickoff rules, yes.
New multiple choice rules. It was approved by all team owners. But we do have a little twist today. We've been in the current events era, but sometimes we do questions inspired by current events. I've been hanging out on Jeffrey and Company all week here in the afternoons, and we've been talking a lot about week zero. We've been talking a lot about week zero. So this is all questions about the number zero.
All right.
So zero. Right. It's week zero in college sports. It's happening. I'm so excited. Are you ready, Jamie? I can kind of understand what's happening on your. Where are you?
I'm on a construction site right now at work.
Respect.
Shout out. Dig that.
He's got a real job.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so inspired by week zero, all questions about zero, your categories to start are animals or songs?
Animals.
Animals. In Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas, Zero is a ghost of what type of animal?
A dog.
That is correct.
Hey!
I'm in trouble.
Songs for you, Jeffrey. We're starting a little easy if anybody's ever watched a Disney movie. Fill in the blank from the missing word in this song title from Disney's Hercules. From zero to blank.
Hero.
Hero is correct. All right, we are tied up. Easy questions out of the way, maybe.
All right, 1-1.
My favorite Disney movie.
That's your favorite Disney movie, Hercules.
Amen.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
James Wood brings the noise.
You and Eddie Murphy, I guess. Okay, food or drink for you, Jamie?
Let's go drink.
Drink. In 2017, Coca-Cola Zero added what word to its name? Personally, I still call it Coke Zero.
I do too.
I'm not sure. I'll have to pass this.
Jeffrey, would you like to steal?
I will steal. Sugar, right? Zero sugar.
Right. Sugar is correct. It is officially called Coca-Cola Zero Sugar.
The Evil Empire goes up 2-1 and has control of the board.
Food for you, Jeffrey. Due to sharing most of the same ingredients, some critics have deemed the Zero candy bar as a white chocolate version of what other candy bar?
Other candy bar.
So the Zero candy bar is apparently exactly the same as another candy bar, except this the white chocolate version.
Man, I don't know. I'm just gonna say like Snickers.
You're gonna say the correct answer, yeah. Snickers.
Oh, man, that was luck. I'm not even gonna pretend like that was good.
That's just
luck.
Closing his eyes and throwing the ball up backwards, and it goes in.
That was chunk it up.
Man. Hey,
my chunk it up was Three Musketeers, so good job.
Yeah, there we go.
That was they blitzed everybody, and I just threw it to my best receiver.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. All right.
This is interesting. So the zero bar, I need to try another one of these because I do like Snickers. But the zero bar, it came out before Snickers, like a decade before Snickers, but it's considered the white chocolate version of Snickers. That's how dominant Snickers is. Snickers is not the chocolate version.
I did not know that. All right, so score is Jeffrey 3, Jamie and Bartlett 1. All right, let's go, Jamie. We got to pick this up.
Right. Jamie, Academy Awards or Ancient Rome?
Ancient Rome.
Damn it.
True or false? True or false? Zero is the only number that doesn't have its own Roman numeral. True or false?
That is true.
That is true.
Look at Jay, but he knew that confidently.
Smart also.
I like that.
Taking away Rome from me.
All right.
My wife says I'm filled with useless knowledge.
So. It took 5 years of Latin.
Man, you stole that one from him.
And
all right.
I'm like one of six people that watched the show with Ramsey Bolton on Peacock.
Jeff's
about to die.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Yes. So, yes, you're one of the six.
You watched it. You can't even remember the name of it.
Right, I'm right there with him.
Those about to die.
Love it.
True.
That's it.
True or false for you, Jeffrey, as well. You got a 50-50 shot. Zero Dark 30 won zero Academy Awards. True or false? The film Zero Dark Thirty won zero Academy Awards.
False.
That is, in fact, false. Zero Dark Thirty This is a very, I can't think of, maybe y'all can help me out with this. I can't think of many other times where a tie is considered a win, but they tied with Skyfall and won. So it was a win, but it was a tie for best sound editing. So they didn't take
everybody
win.
Gets, everybody yeah, gets
when,
a trophy.
I mean, when it's a made-up award and a made-up show, then you can make up the rules as you go.
Well, that was my favorite Academy Awards because Cameron's ex-wife was Zero Dark Thirty,
yes.
And he had Avatar, and they both had to like be.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was great.
And be cordial about it.
That was a fantastic watch.
That was a great watch. All right, we're at Jeffrey is 4-2. Jeffrey's in the lead. Back to Jamie.
They won the best sound editing award, which is not even an award anymore. I believe it merged with sound mixing. But all right, they tied with Skyfall, which is a 007 movie. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got other stuff or sports. Sports or other stuff.
Sports.
Jamie. Sports. All right. Even though he is nicknamed Agent Zero, what number did Gilbert Arenas wear on his jersey as a member of the Memphis Grizzlies?
Oh.
I think I know this.
I want to say it's 2.
That is incorrect.
Justin?
I think,
was your guess?
Do you know the answer to this?
No. I something with a 5 in
I thought he wore 10.
You thought correct.
There you go.
That is number 10.
There
we should. We should have an Ask JR.
I know. Can I join this game as the third player in this game? All right, so it's still 4-2.
Other stuff.
Right, Jeffrey.
Yep, here we go.
Carat is a unit of measurement that reveals the proportion of pure gold. The scale starts at 0 and goes up to what number?
Woo!
24?
Is 24 karat gold the best gold you can have? Yes, it is. That is the point.
Dude, this guy.
I'm hitting every third down right
outrageous.
Now.
Outrageous.
Every third down.
He's just guessing. and getting it. The score is 5-2, and I'm pretty sure that he only knew the answer to 2 of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just getting
the
lucky.
Last one I knew, the 24 karat. I was good on that one.
Oh, see? I feel like whatever category, Jamie, whatever your instinct is telling you to pick, do the opposite of that.
That's what I'm going to do this time.
Unless it's Rome.
That was smart.
There we go.
All right. Final round, it's going to be name that zero, A or B question. But of course, you got a wager. We got a wager. Jeffrey, you're...
Jeffrey's wagering 1.
All right, so we need...
I'm going to wager 2.
Well, Jamie's going to go, get a chance to do something here. He can still win.
If he gets both.
You want A or B? Do you want A or B here?
Let's go B.
B. In 1986, Weird Al Yankovic released a Christmas song with the number 0 in it. What's the name of that Christmas song?
Oh.
Zero Days Till Christmas.
Oh, that's a great guess. That is incorrect, though. Your point is awesome.
Honestly, he said it with such conviction, I thought that was right.
Yeah, man, he really felt like he knew that. I was about to give it to him.
That sounds like a great guy. I don't know that. I'm going to look that up. That's a great title for
this. It really is. Jeffrey doesn't have any more steals. No, what is the answer to that?
You know, it's Christmas at Ground Zero. Christmas at Ground Zero.
Probably has to stop playing that one.
Yep.
Yeah, that's. I just don't get to hear that one.
And so not anymore. All right, and as Jeff always says, people get mad when we don't finish the game. And so, Jeffrey, even though you're going to win this one, you got to go ahead and get your question.
Yeah.
You know, there's always the in question's got to be hard. I feel like they're very hard today. The phrase "all your base or belong to us" originated from what Japanese video game? It's got 0 in the name.
Woo! Good night.
I mean, something makes sense with 0.
At this point, just guess anything. You're batting a 1,000.
Zero sum.
Let's see if you can guess this one. What is 0
sum?
That is incorrect.
All right.
Jamie, you want to steal?
No, I don't have any idea.
We have...
What is the answer to that?
That would be 0 wing.
Of course.
Zero wing, of course.
Yes, of course.
All right, well, it turns out everybody lost their bets there, but Jeffrey still won 4-0. However, Jamie Bartlett's still going to get those.
Yeah.
He definitely played honorably.
Jamie, I've got all your info, so it'll come to you via email. Thanks for playing, buddy.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate y'all.
I'm a little sad nobody dropped. One of the questions wasn't Which actor had gave us the great quote, drop that zero, get with the hero?
No, is that Thomas? Vanilla Ice, right?
It's Vanilla Ice. Coolest Ice right there, buddy.
There's still a lot of great zero content out there that did not get be included here.
There sure is.
But you will hear one of these questions tonight at Trivia and next week at Trivia. So go to SerenaEntertainment.com, find out where we're playing. We're back at Evergreen Grill tonight after taking last week off. We're a bunch of different places, SerenaEntertainment.com. You get rewarded for listening because you'll at least have one of these questions at all the Trivias over the next week. And Jeffrey, I will talk to you later on this afternoon.
See it too, buddy.
Sounds good. Thank you, Kevin. That's Kevin Cerrito bringing us Writer Than Right Trivia. I love it. When we come back, we're going to take a short little break. God, what a packed second hour. When we come back, we're going to have the man himself, Thomas Ian Nicholas, actor, musician. He's playing a show tonight at 1884 at Minglewood Hall. And he was also Henry Rowan Gardner from the great Rookie of the Year movie. And Kevin from the American Pie movies.
Indeed.
Love the guy. He's super nice. He's going to join us on the other side. You're listening to the Jeff Calkins Show. I'm J.R. Moore filling in on 99 FM ESPN. Joining us on the show right now is a very accomplished actor, musician, and dad. You may know him from the American Pie franchise, or if you're under the age of 50, you know him as the one and only Henry Rowan Gardner from Rookie of the Year. I also know him as my friend. Welcome to the show, Thomas Ian Nicholas. How are you today, sir?
Well, we had him.
Oh, just kidding. Well, we were going to welcome him to the show. I gave him one of the kindest and friendliest intros ever, and he was just texting me that, and he just texted me that y'all hung up on him. Jeffrey hung, of all things, Jeffrey hung up on our guest. What are you going to do? Well, I will tell you this. He is playing a show tonight at 18. Do we have him now? We do have him now. Thomas, I gave you one of the kindest intros ever. And
it truly
Jeffrey
was, but I got a tear.
Immediately hung up on you. Welcome to the show now, Thomas Ian Nicholas. How are you today, sir?
I'm great. How about you guys?
We're doing fantastic. First off, do you want to tell the people the name of our group text?
No, I do not. No, it's the acronym for my band, TNB, Thomas Nicholas Band.
Yes, it is.
We just have different words in there.
That's exactly right. Jeffrey, I'll tell it to you off the air, which is a great story of how it became that as well.
There's nothing wrong with it. I'll just tell the story.
Yeah, do it. It's a fun story.
I never could come up with like a good band name. So, you know, my band is just called Thomas Nicholas Band. But I love my logo. So I was thinking like a few years back, I would just put the acronym into a band name generator and see what it came up with and see if it could come up with something cool. And it came up with Turkey Nipple Biscuits.
Love it.
Which I think if you're like an indie rock band, that sounds is actually kind of a great.
I think I've told Justin this joke. I would come up with band names when I was in high school. I think that if you just go through like a biology textbook,
yeah,
like just go to the glossary. And it, like synthesis reaction, like I always totally. Thought, like I was like, oh yeah, going to SR tonight.
I think in the textbook on page 675 it says turkey nipple biscuits.
Yes, absolutely, it does.
That's
science.
Yeah, that's science. Mm-hmm. That's if you raise turkeys, you are very familiar with turkey nipple biscuits.
He brings up a good point though. Acronyms make bands so much better.
They do.
Like, it really
it's true,
does.
It's true. And if I was brave enough, I would have changed my band name to that.
There's still time.
There's still time.
We're still young.
There is still time. All right. So, I mean, I introduced you as with letting or the people know with your movie roles. And you have been in some, like, very legendary movies that cross generations, as in I loved Rookie of the Year as a kid, and my son loves Rookie of the Year. And I got to revisit it all over again, which is awesome. Did you ever have a moment of? Cause I feel like you embrace the nostalgia and those awesome movies well. Did you ever have a moment where you were like, I don't want to look at stuff or talk about stuff I did as a kid? I'm a serious actor. Did you ever have a moment where you did not embrace that whole thing, or have you always been like, dude, I had a hit.
I'm Henry Rowan Gardner.
I have a freaking hit on my hands, and I'm going to embrace this forever.
Well, first of all, when you talk about Rookie of the Year, you have to refer to me as Henry Rowan Gardner. Second of all, I thought for a long time that I was going to be a disgruntled, like, in and out of rehab, you know, like child star of the past.
Yeah.
And that was going to be my only feather under my cap. Thankfully, I did these four little movies, the American Pie movies,
yep.
which is actually what brings me to Memphis tonight for with Emo Kids to bring back all of that nostalgia with all of everyone's favorite music, which is what we'll be. I'll be playing some acoustic, and then I'm DJing, and then Emo Kids are going to be doing a live show of all that music tonight at 1884.
It is a weird experience for me because I was... Even though like I could hang out with athletes and whatnot, but I was the kid that listened to emo growing up in the South, and I don't know if you know this, that's not really a great choice in the early 2000s. It's weird to me. It's like, this is popular now. I was like, where the hell were you guys with? I told you I was right.
That's exactly right.
Well, I think the moment that really solidified it for me about how nostalgia it is when I was grocery shopping, because I've got two kids myself, 12 and 8. And, you know, when I grew up, we were listening to 70s rock. It was like Led Zeppelin and the Doobie Brothers yep. as you're picking out your apples. Now it's like, you know, Nirvana and like My Chem.
Yes.
You're like, no, this apple's great.
To your point, the day that I knew, I'm like, oh, this is weird, when I heard All the Small Things on a BMW commercial.
Yeah.
That was, I was like, oh my God, they're selling luxury liners with Tom DeLonge. It's like, oh God, we are here.
When I started hearing Collective Soul and Tonic at the grocery store, I was like, oh, okay, we've now hit that. It's now grocery store rock. I love that. I was curious. So this show, like, I knew you were going out on a tour. I did not know exactly what the Emo Kids tour was. And I was looking at 1884's website, and I was like, I do not see Thomas's name anywhere. And so I'm glad you already explained what this show is. Do you have a full band with you?
Well, I don't have a full band with me tonight. So I am touring all year round. I just released my 7th album 2 months ago.
Love it.
Called We're Gonna Be Okay. Features Bowling for Soup and Less Than Jake in the early November. And then I've got two other sort of tours that are happening. One of them is American Night, where, again, my full also do an emo DJ set, and we do a retro screening of American. A tour that I jumped onto last minute is with Emo Kids. So I basically just live on the road right now.
That's awesome.
And anything, you know, if it's got emo in the name, count me in.
You're in.
I've seen all three of those bands live.
I love it.
Shout out Ace Enders.
Is your new record, did Taylor Carroll produce that?
He did. Carroll did produce that.
It all comes back to
a monster.
Yes. It all comes back to Memphis, and that Taylor Carroll is from Memphis and is a drummer for the band Lit. And so... So Thomas is coming to play a show in Memphis, and then a drummer from Memphis produced his record, and then we have the Turkey Nipple Biscuits are all coming out to his show tonight to go see him. It's going to be great.
I'm headed to Nashville tomorrow, and of course, Taylor's going to be in California with Lit.
Obviously, of course. That's how the schedule works. Have you been to Memphis before?
I have, yeah. I played the Beale Street Festival here there's like a cigar shop there.
Yep.
And I can't remember when it was. It could have been, I don't think it was earlier this year. I think it was like last year.
No kidding.
Were you on the river?
I'm not sure where we were. Right outside. There's like a sort of a concrete amphitheater that's across the street from the cigar shop. So we were on Beale Street.
Was he at Mud Island?
What's that?
Or like in
the
pitch?
I don't know. It's right there. Like literally on Beale Street, but there's like, a little stage.
Oh, Handy Park.
Budweiser, whatever.
Budweiser Pavilion.
My best friend from elementary school lives here in Memphis. And if you watch the music video for Same Kids from my new record, the first sort of like cutscenes that I put in there with like all of my friends through the years is my buddy Robert, who lives here in Memphis. And he got me that gig. So this is my second time playing in Memphis, and it will not be my last.
That's fantastic. Do you have any... So, when did your record come out, your new record?
It came out May 17th.
May 17th. And then are you doing the rest of the year touring and are doing stuff supporting that record?
Yeah. I've been to Europe already, I think, four times. I've got a fifth time at the end of September. and I'm probably doing like 100 shows. You know, we did like Germany and Austria and the UK, and then I'm touring all around the States, and you know, there's always more shows being added.
Nice. Do you have any acting stuff or directing or producing stuff coming up?
Well, you can see my latest TV series called Underdeveloped. You can watch the whole first season for free on Amazon or Tubi.
Nice.
And I'm shooting a new TV series right now called Aim Hotel with William Forsythe. And I'm playing a cop, which is the second time I've been a cop before now. But, you know, this time I'm like a plainclothes detective. I don't have to wear, like, you know, the uniform. Full get-up.
So we found out yesterday that Travis Kelce is going to have a buddy cop comedy. I would much rather watch your cop comedy. I'm glad that we're bringing back like buddy cop stuff or cop like procedurals. But God, I did not need to see Travis Kelce in like a buddy cop.
I did not know he's going into acting.
Yeah, good for him, right?
How
glad to see that guy get a break.
I mean, you know, wouldn't you?
I mean, yes. I mean, if in that scenario, I would just do whatever I ever wanted to do. Of like, this is my dream thing. You might as well strike while the iron's hot. I
mean, you mean like dating the biggest pop star in the world?
I was going to say, some people have the dream of, you know, like a big career, and other people have the dream of, you know, just dating Taylor Swift, and then they can do whatever they want.
And I guess that's a good point. I don't
know.
While
winning a Super Bowl.
That seems like it'd be a handful. All right, we're going How about that? Well, we are running out of time here, Thomas. And so I will say I appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you so much. Go see 1884 Lounge at Minglewood Hall tonight. Emo Kids, it's a live band tribute to Emo. You'll see Thomas Ian Nicholas performing all your nostalgic emo hits, doing a little DJ set, playing some songs live. It's going to be awesome.
It'll be just like the Rock Boat, but this time not silent disco. We're actually going to have speakers.
We're going to have speakers this time. Whatever that strange meat is from the cafeteria you made me try, we probably will not have that either.
Spam.
Spam, I think it was. It was ox. That's what it was. It was ox. Oh, man. Jeffrey, what's coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Drew Hill will join their program today. Joining us on Jeffrey Wright and Company, of course, will be Eric and Jason. It's Thursday, so that means hopefully Jeff will be with Gabe.
Thanks again to all our guests. Thanks, Chris Harrington. Thanks, Kevin Cerrito. And, of course, thank you, Thomas Ian Nicholas, for joining us on the show. I guess I'll maybe be seeing you at lunch in about a few minutes. My name is J.R. Moore, filling in on the Jeff Calkins Show. And I'll see you here tomorrow as well. Have a great day.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you can do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.